And so we face another weekend with the need to rest, recreate, and to stay the heck away from other humans who might aspirate a little too close to us. Yesterday, Governor Whitmer and the state's chief medical officer, Dr. Joanne Khaldun, repeated their call that people need to take precautions to slow the spread of COVID or risk a return to the lockdown. And today, the governor issued a new executive order calling for use of masks anytime we're in public. It makes face coverings mandatory in public spaces and requires businesses to deny service to people without one. We wanted to check back in with an epidemiologist we've spoken with in weeks past on the show. Ryan Malish is an assistant research scientist at the University of Michigan School of Public Health. Welcome back to Stateside.
Thanks, and thanks for having me.
You know, I still run into folks who say that they're not quite sure if the mask does anything. What's your view on that?
Yeah, so I think the evidence is pretty clear that masks do reduce your risk. I think one of the things that we don't have a good handle on is just how much it reduces your risk. And in the exact scenarios, right? I mean, those things are very hard to study, particularly with the new virus that is spread through possibly through multiple different routes, you know, aerosol and droplet. But we do know that certainly someone who's sick wearing a mask will reduce the amount of virus that they put out into the environment. And there is some evidence, actually, some work that was done at U of M around influenza-like illnesses that shows that masks can actually protect people who are healthy as well if their contacts are sick. So there is some evidence that suggests that masks work, and they work pretty well at reducing your risk. But again, that number of exactly how much it reduces your risk is something that's pretty hard to study.
It seems like such a small thing to do. What do you make of some of the public resistance we've seen?
Well, I think it's important to acknowledge that, you know, wearing a mask is uncomfortable, right? And it's something that we do have to get used to. Sort of downplaying the impacts on people's lives from wearing a mask is not something that I think we should be doing as public health, you know, professionals. We should be sort of acknowledging the fact that, yeah, it's much harder to gauge someone's reaction to, you know, as you're talking with them. It is harder to breathe. Those things are true. But, you know, in this case, the benefits of wearing a mask seem to pretty heavily outweigh the risks.
We've been hearing some epidemiologists use a phrase that I think was not really in the common vernacular before COVID, the hammer and the dance. Can you explain what that refers to?
Yeah, so I mean, the hammer is the lockdown, right? This is the sort of the tough thing that we have to do in order to reduce contact rates and sort of the only means by which we can prevent transmission, right? So that's what we started with. The dance would then be the releasing of those restrictions so that people can go back out and do some of the things, try to return to normal life as much as possible. And so balancing those two is sort of when you put them together, the hammer and the dance is sort of the balance.
Right. This idea that we may be seeing months of lockdown and then moments of reopening, I mean, I think there's just not a lot of precedent in modern life for something like that. It's like people living under the Blitzkrieg in London. You know, these periods of relative safety followed by periods when things were not safe.
Yeah, so I think that's true, that it is pretty unprecedented at least in modern times to think about something like this happening. You know, there was a modeling study out of Harvard earlier this year, I think out in April, looking at sort of how those spacing of sort of the release and the intermittent lockdown would happen. And it was an excellently modeled study. But basically, their conclusions were without increasing ICU capacity and without a vaccine, that this could be something that might have to continue until, you know, 2021, 2022.
Last time we talked, you had some concerns about our lack of knowledge of how COVID affects children and that decisions about the school year should not be made in the absence of data. Are you feeling any differently about that right now?
So we're starting to see some more information, but it's a little bit mixed. I mean, I think we have some encouraging signs children, you know, it's pretty clear that they're not getting severe disease, at least the way that adults do, but they're clearly susceptible to infection. We know that from some of the serology studies that we've seen. And, you know, some of the places that have opened schools have done really well and had not had, they've been able to control, you know, outbreaks in those settings. And places like Israel have opened their schools and then had to close them back down in certain areas because they've had, you know, some outbreaks in school settings and in teachers. So I think the data is still a bit mixed, but we're starting to get more information now. And it's only going to help, you know, over the next few weeks as we start to have to come to the point where we have to make these decisions.
Governor Whitmer has announced guidance for schools that want to reopen. And it seems like many of Michigan's districts are sort of doing a hybrid plan where kids can take classes online, but there's also at least a partial plan for in-person instruction for, you know, part of the day or part of the week. Do you feel like decisions on opening are moving forward too quickly?
Well, I think you have to balance, you know, everybody's anxious to know what their schools are going to be doing. You know, my daughter is going into first grade and I'm anxious to know what her school is planning as well. So I think developing those plans now is not inappropriate. I think it just has to, the sort of the caveat has to be that if the situation changes, the plan is going to have to change as well.
Yeah. Did you get a sense that the state's leaders are maybe trying to prepare us for that possibility?
I think that's the goal. It's the only thing that really makes sense, I think, at this point. And I know, you know, the University of Michigan, where I work, is doing that same thing. And we're trying to come up with our plans, but it's all subject to sort of, you know, what's happening on the ground. And I heard Governor Whitmer talking about, you know, if we're in phase three, then everything is distance learning. If we're in phase four, then, you know, it's different. So I think they're trying to. I'm not sure how clear the message is, but I think that's definitely an attempt that they're making.
Ryan Malish is an assistant research scientist at University of Michigan School of Public Health. Ryan, thanks for coming back and talking to us.
No problem. Thanks for having me.